following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hey gang, what's going on? It is time for New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours today. Now tomorrow, we're only going to be here for 1 hour, so maybe you should call in today if you're thinking of calling tomorrow. No, call today. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. We would love to talk to you about whatever it is that you're going through. We've got clinical psychologist Dr. Jill Hubbard here in the studio today to answer your questions. Also, parenting expert Dr. Jim Burns. His friends just call him Jimothy. But he's here, too, to answer your questions. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. And Dr. Jimothy, what's on your
mind? That's Jimothy. I like that.
Nobody ever called me that. Tail.
I was Jimbo. I've been all kinds of things, but never. I'm just excited because Jill's here.
Yes.
Jill is our star. She's the star of our show. And it's so great to have you, honestly. So good. You know, last week I was speaking at a conference in Mount Hermon. It's a beautiful spot up in Northern California. And I was talking to the people about the fires in L.A. a year ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of you followed this wherever you were and probably in the world. But the interesting thing about the fires, my brother lost his home. He played for the Chicago White Sox. He has a home in Malibu because those kind of guys can afford homes in Malibu. It's kind of a rich place. And he lost his entire home. That's another story. Mm. But the interesting thing is, as shrubbery and trees and whatnot started kind of coming back, you know what the trees that came back were? The ones that had deep roots. Mm. And it's so interesting. I saw this. I was there watching this over the, you know, a few months. And again, my brother's house is devastated, but it was the deep roots. I want to challenge you today, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, I don't care if you're struggling with whatever issue that we get here, and we get them all. I want to challenge you to dig your roots deep. And I've got an incredible quote by Kay Warren. Kay Warren is the wife of Rick Warren, who's one of the more famous pastors from our life. And Kay's a friend, and she said this, and I want you to hear this. This relates to every one of you. Someone recently asked me how I survived my son's suicide. As maybe some of you know, that was a very public suicide. Uh-huh. And Matthew was a wonderful young man, and he had a lot of trouble. And he committed suicide. So you can only imagine the heartbroken mother and the heartbroken father, heartbroken people who all knew him. She said, talking about God, she said to this person, I set my spiritual roots deep into the character of God for more than 50 years. Circumstances tried to brutally rip out the tree of my faith, but the roots held deep. I want you to just ponder that for a minute with whatever you're going on. One of the things we have to do, we sometimes want to Band-Aid our problems. But really, what we also need to do is dig our roots deep. And Jesus spoke to this in the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he said, we either build our house on the rock or we build our house on sand. And rain and wind and storms are going to come to everybody's life. And I'm sure that some of you who are listening today or who are watching on YouTube, you've got some tough things. And it may be an estranged child. It may be an estranged husband. It may be a porn addiction. It may be so many of the issues that people call. But what I want to say to you is that really one of the ways to get through this, I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away, but to get through is dig deep roots. And part of that means that we are committed to being devoted to God. And in doing that, we're in alignment with what His purpose is for our life. Never easy, but don't neglect digging those deep roots as you prepare for whatever is going to come your way. Good, bad, indifferent. Yeah. There you go.
Jill?
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of that metaphor and how so often, I mean, it takes the hard work.
Yes.
And we want the quick solutions.
I know.
We want out
work.
Of our pain right now.
Yeah. And it does take work. I was talking about this in my small group today. We're talking about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And discipline takes work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the gym these days. And you know what?
We'll be right back.
It's a new life.
My husband recently attended Every Man's Battle, and I just want to give a hearty endorsement to that program. Going into something like this, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of isolation. What he shared with me in terms of how your facilitators talked to the men, how there was a sense of honesty I don't know that he's ever experienced. He returned a hopeful man, and my heart is full. I would encourage gentleness in the way you encourage your husband to bring something into the light, into a situation where people are encouraging and giving you the tools and pointing you to the Lord in a way that is so specific to this particular battle.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas August 7th through the 9th. Visit newlife.com to find out more.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
One of the things we say a lot here at New Life Live is that we never stop growing. And that's why we're excited to partner with Hope for the Heart for the Hope Together Conference this October. If you are a pastor, counselor, coach, small group leader, or simply someone who wants to better help hurting people, this conference is for you. Plus, if you are a listener or viewer of New Life Live, you get a 20% off discount from registration. Here's the code you need, NLM20. And here's the website you need, hopetogether.com. Early bird pricing ends this Friday, July 31st, so now would be a great time to register. And our friend Becky Brown will be one of the speakers. So again, check it out, hopetogether.com. NLM20 is the discount code for early bird pricing, which ends this Friday. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us today. And Jim, really quick. You're going to the gym now, you were saying.
Yeah.
The music cut you
off.
And the resistance actually makes me stronger. So sometimes when tough things come and there's some resistance, you can get stronger by leaning into it, digging those roots deep.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
All right.
I wasn't paying any attention to the clock. You're supposed to do that if you're in radio.
Well, it is important. We'll talk about
that. That's Brian's job.
Yeah. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. And let's talk to Jane in Louisiana, who is listening to us on newlife.com. Hey there, Jane. Thanks for calling today.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help you?
Yes, I had a question. My daughter just found journals and stuff in my grandson's room. He's 14. He appears to want to have a sex change. So they've now, this has become an open conversation with them. And he's relieved that she found the journals, so he's not hiding these things anymore. But She just
doesn't know
what to do, or how to find him out, how to find her out.
All right,
Dr. Jones. I get them resources that they can
Yeah, Jane, I'm sorry to hear this. We just are hearing this more and more about so many kids. And part of the problem is that things that adolescents go through, the confusion in growing up, the growing into an adult body, the relationships with peers, is getting concretized. And, I have had young people tell me, well, they say if I don't like myself, don't like my body, right? I can change that. And so there's a lot of suggestion that is happening to concretize what's happening on the inside and, change things on the outside. The problem is, long term, we know it doesn't really work. But it can feel like it works for a really long time, and families go through devastating losses because really, in changing who you are at a physical level, you're saying, okay, what God created isn't good, and I don't like that person. In fact, there's a lot of self-loathing mm-hmm. that is a part of it. And so sort of a killing off of who they were born to be instead of learning to accept imperfection and grow into who they are. So I think it's a delicate balance that you walk with kids, and you certainly want to take it seriously. And before you ever, you know, my hope is that you would never do something permanent. But I think you have to walk through this with the child. Let's talk about it. Tell me how you came to this. Tell me about your feelings about yourself. What is it about who you were born as that this new person you think is going to give you that person can't give you? Let's really talk about all the ins and outs, and we'll be with you in this. So don't immediately dismiss it, because it's very real. It's very real to them, even if it seems delusional.
Yeah. I love, Jill, you changed the narrative, because I think there were seasons when this first started happening, because this is new.
Yeah.
And when this first started happening, parents would freak out. And I get that.
Yeah,
I'd freak out. But parents would freak out, and then they would freak out on their kids, and they would shame them, shame, and, you know, wrong, and whatever. And now you've just not become a safe person.
Yeah.
What Jill said was, you've got to be a safe person.
Your daughter, parent,
needs to be a safe person. And the way you do that is have your freak out, yell into a pillow, scream to somebody else. But with this, you have the conversation, and you make it something where you begin a dialogue with them. Why? What are you thinking? Whatever. They know how. I'm sure that this child knows how his mom feels and what his mom believes. So now is the time to help work through it. Here's the problem. At 14, when I was a youth pastor in my old life, if you would, and my PhD is actually an adolescent, so I mean, I worked with kids like this. In the old days, they would cut themselves. They still do. They would have an eating disorder, and nobody thought that was a good idea. But this 14-year-old is now getting, because of social media and because of other things, they're getting incredible affirmation that maybe this is what they need. Well, at 14, I didn't know who I was, what I was going to do. My identity was not wrapped up. I wasn't a Christian, for one thing, and my identity wasn't wrapped up in Christ. And so, you know, you're still looking. So a lot of these people are searching for something that they think is going to be found with a sex change, and it's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. What we're seeing is so many kids who actually go through hormone treatment, go through issues, they get to be about 18 or 19 or even 20, and they change their mind. And by this time, they're already in a mess. So, you know, make sure that your daughter understands, don't rush this. Don't allow it to rush. Yet she's going to have the amazing strength and courage and literally a discernment mm-hmm. to not just be all preachy and lectury, or what she's going to do is push her child away. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Let me bring Jane back. Does it make sense to you, Jane?
Yes. She's been pretty supportive, and the letter that he wrote her was that he's so thankful to have a mom that's supportive. So I think it's just, she wants to make sure he gets help.
Yeah.
And he's seeing a counselor, but not in person.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for this at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's looking for her own, but because of finances, it's just a mess right now. But I just figured you might have some resources
for
them.
Yeah, I think the book by Preston Sprinkles, Embodied, is a good one. He is a Christian. He has a ministry, I think it's in Idaho, to the gay community as well as the transgendered. And he has a more sensitive approach in, you know, not dismissing how they feel.
You can go on to PrestonSprinkle.com mm-hmm. and you can get that. Like, that's a great book. A great book. And it gives you hope.
Mm-hmm.
He also, I mean, he has interviews. He has a podcast himself. It's not always just on, you know, sex change issues, but he is really, really good. I've got a book called A Student's Guide to Sexual Integrity that actually speaks to that issue. It's for students. And I always challenge parents to read it with their child, because a lot of times what the child doesn't have is they don't have a grounded sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so they're all confused about their sexuality. And, you know, like in a chapter on that subject, I call it authority. Gender confusion, authority. And authority is God's will. And so what I say is, don't make a decision in a rash moment because some kid on TikTok said it's a good idea, but look at God's authority.
Right.
And we have to understand that the culture changes. So we're seeing, even in England and other places, we're seeing the culture change away from kids kind of a sex change, if you would. Or, you know, there's some big changes happening. In the United States, I think we're going to see that too. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, that's culture. So culture, it was big, you know, that was the big thing, you know, from the last 5 years. But what's going to be the big thing? Something else. I'm afraid it's not going to be
right.
Sweet. But the point being is, don't rush it. I think she's doing a marvelous job if her son is saying, thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. You can support someone. This is what parents have to understand. You can support someone without agreeing with them. It's possible to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the long game that mm-hmm. you have to be prepared
right.
for.
Right.
And so it's like we're going to explore all of this for a long time before we would ever take it to the next level.
Because
I mean, and it's okay to say, because a lot of times people change their minds.
Right.
And I would look at how her son feels in terms of his peers. Does he feel accepted? Does he have a sense of belonging? Has he had a best friend?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times these kids are bright individuals that feel socially awkward.
Yeah.
And so some of it is just fitting in. And so they find that they can fit in with this odd group.
Yes.
But the odd group requires adherence, because I've known kids trying to get out and then they fear losing their friends if they change the way they dress or they decide they don't want to go in that direction.
Yeah. No, they do.
Yeah.
They do. It's tough that way.
Jim's book, A Student's Guide to Sexual Integrity, is in the newlife.com store. So get yourself a copy. I'm looking at the back cover, Jim. This must-have book for preteens and teens tackles the tough, sensitive issues of sexuality for today's kids. One of the bullet points, it reveals God's beautiful plan for sex and sexuality. It reveals God's beautiful plan.
Yeah.
So a lot of people nowadays are struggling because maybe they know that God's plan is not for them to change their gender. How do they fit into that? Because they're thinking, well, I'm struggling with this.
Well,
I don't want God's plan.
We,
I want my plan.
You know, we call God the master designer. So he's been doing very well for many, many thousands of years. So I think what we have to do is accept that he knows what he's doing, and we don't necessarily know. And sometimes, you know, Jill used the word temporary. And what we're looking for always is a quick fix to our pain. And I'm sure this boy has pain. So the pain isn't going to be taken away because he changes his gender. But God is a loving God. God loves all people. So he loves this boy. The boy needs to hear what, in my opinion, is he needs to hear what a healthy sexuality is, because he probably doesn't know. And so it's not like he's, you know, rebelling against a healthy sexuality. He probably doesn't understand. I mean, most think about us. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, my parents never talked to me about sex. So, you know, where do kids learn it? From the internet. I'm not sure I trust the internet in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and see too, okay, so psychologically, right, there's a killing off of the self that we were born as.
Right.
But what kids don't understand is that the hormones, the changes, the treatment, you are hastening your death.
Right, right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So either way, you're killing yourself off.
Right, right. You know, there's a woman who transitioned and then she transitioned back. And she's pretty famous and she's, you know, on YouTube and all those kind of things. But what's interesting, she said she did that because she had so much pain in other issues. It wasn't even her sexuality issues, but she had pain and she thought this was going to make her, for her to transition to become a man. And then she got to childbearing age and she went, oh my goodness, I have an innate desire to have a child. And so she actually went the other way. She didn't get, you know, yippees from her community.
No.
She got...
probably alienated.
Alienated.
Yeah.
And so that's the other part that's mm-hmm. that's so key.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to be real careful. But I think when a mom does, it's so hard. And she, the mom and the grandma need support system around them mm-hmm. to work through this, because that's a hard thing. And of course, they don't want to talk about it sometimes because they feel shame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jane, thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live. And we're going to be here for 2 hours. We would love to help you with whatever it is you're struggling with or what a loved one is struggling with. Maybe they recently came out and told you something that they're going through, or maybe it's you. Maybe you were just handed divorce papers, or you found out that your spouse has betrayed you, or, you know, maybe things aren't going so well at work. We'd love to talk about that, too. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, thanks for watching, but we'd love to hear from you too. So call in 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
We know that so many women are affected by betrayal, and yet they suffer in silence. And so we wanted to create a first step for women who have not yet begun the healing process. Maybe are kind of curious about, what does this have to do with me? After all, he's the one that did it, and why do I have to do anything? It's a great next step for you. You get an opening to what you can do to heal yourself. Whether or not the marriage is healed or the relationship is healed, we want you to know that there is help and there's a way forward. And so you can go to newlife.com/rescue.
Led by licensed counselor Laura Manchik McDonald, this 4-hour gathering is being held on Saturday, August 1st. Get practical teaching and supportive connection to help you take your first steps toward healing. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com/rescue.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. And right before the break, I was talking about how you can call in and speak to Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Jim Burns if betrayal is something that you're going through. And women, we know this happens often, and we are so sorry that this is something you're going through. And we have a webinar, not a webinar, it's a virtual gathering this coming Saturday. It's 4 hours from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time, because many women tell us that they feel isolated and after betrayal, trying to hold everything together while carrying this overwhelming pain. Well, Rescue is the name of the event, and it was created just for you. Laura Manchik McDonald will be there for a powerful 4-hour online experience focused on healing, safety, and hope after betrayal. You don't have to have all the answers. Just take that first step, which could be to register for Rescue. It's happening this Saturday. You can get all the details at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to talk to Dr. Jill and Dr. Jim, 1-800-229-3000 is our number. We've got a few ways that you can get your question to us. You can leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email. Our favorite way is when you call in to 1-800-229-3000, but we understand that you may not be able to to do that. So we've created these other ways that you can reach us. And here's one of those emails that was sent in. By the way, you can find the email address and the phone number for the voicemail at newlife.com/radio. But Marie in Florida sent in this question. Is my husband right in forbidding me not to visit my children or for them to come home to visit? Marie says, my husband doesn't want me to have anything to do with my four adult children or grandchildren from a previous marriage. We've been married 18 years, and he didn't start out this way, or I wouldn't have married him, but it has gradually escalated after the first 3 to 4 years of marriage. They all live out of state, so I was only seeing one or two of them once every 2 years. Then once a year, when they would come to our area, he wants nothing to do with them, and I am not to talk about them. He says they are rednecked, and those with a tattoo have a mental problem, which he says about everyone who has a tattoo. He said he would compromise and let me see my youngest daughter's family once a year at Thanksgiving. I would have to fly to Texas. When they come to Florida, they're not allowed to come to our house, even though this was the land they lived on growing up, and we have a 5-bedroom, 2-bath home. My husband doesn't have a full-time income, although he works 6 days a week at his own business, but he doesn't take a salary or any income from it. We live off my Social Security, and my retirement pension goes directly into savings, which we don't have to use even if we or when I take a trip. I went to a grandson's high school graduation, and now in 6 weeks he'll be graduating from Army boot camp, which my daughter expects me to attend, and it is important to me. I don't get to see my other children because my husband says that would take more time of me being away from him. So, guys, what do you say to Marie?
And do they have any children together, or does he have children from a previous marriage?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
Well, this is always the hard one because we love when people write in and we encourage them to do it. At the same time, I got questions galore here.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, she's in a pretty toxic relationship with Marie. If you're listening, you're in a toxic relationship with that man. And the way you work through that is to probably get some help immediately if you haven't. You know, why we would ask you questions like, have you gotten some counseling through this? Is there a counselor? Is there a moderator, a mediator through some of this? Because these are your children. And so my heart goes out for you. And I don't understand all of the context. I mean, just I get that they wear tattoos.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they've done anything.
No.
Right? But he doesn't like who they are.
Right.
He's very judgmental.
Right. He's kind of doing a no contact. You know, we typically hear about no contact with Gen Z kids or millennials with their parents or whatever. But he's kind of trying to do a no contact. And I don't think that's the best way. I mean, it sounds like they're safe. I mean, if they were rednecks who he was afraid for his life or something, but I don't hear any of that.
So some things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go.
Do you want to?
No, you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some things are standing out to me. First of all, that he's forbidding her.
Strong word.
I mean, in a relationship that is supposed to be mutual and you're supposed to be partners, I don't understand the word forbidding. So he's not allowing. They've been married a long time. It sounds like with him not working, I wonder, one, is he just retired or is there some insecurity there?
She said he works. He just didn't take money. He works 6 days a week.
Oh, he did say that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just wondering about his own feelings about himself. Mm-hmm. And if in some way, you know, reminders of a life before him is somehow injurious to him. It would take time away from him.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like an all-consuming guy, like it's all about him.
Right, right.
And he's not really caring about Marie. Like, you give birth to 4 children? And Grant, like, you're biologically tied. Even when they're adopted, you're tied to those children.
Exactly.
And I can't imagine anything worse that a husband could do.
Yeah. I don't understand. They've been married 18 years, so...
Mm-hmm.
Although, for a long time, this has been his story. I know the music's gone, but I'll say it real quickly. I just looked up a scripture that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's Ephesians 5:22. Submit means serve one another. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you go out of your way to serve your wife's need of seeing those children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. But I agree. They need to get some help.
Yeah.
This is a marital issue.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm.
Intimacy and marriage would be good for you guys to attend. We will be right back on New Life Live.
Every day, we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. Wouldn't you love to be part of a rescue team? Don't miss your opportunity to be part of something that changes lives every single day, because everyone matters. Your generosity helps find them. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/9941.
Join the mission, rescue the one, and restore the many.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery, because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're going to help lots of people today. Indeed, we already have, and we're going to go back to the phones in just a moment. We're going to be here for 2 hours today, so call in to 1-800-229-3000. And all the help we're able to give people is thanks to your generous financial contributions. You can give online at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also text NLM, as in New Life Ministries, to 28950. And we love that you guys watch New Life Live and you listen, or maybe you, you know, listen to the podcast, you download that, you listen to it later. But help us shoulder the cost of going after the one, so there's always a place for them to land, heal, and start again. If your heart breaks for the one, become a 99 for the one partner and stand in that gap. You can learn more at newlife.com/9941. To the phones we go. Here is Susan in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She listens to us on Sirius XM, channel 131. Hi there, Susan. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I have two adult grown sons, and they have families of their own. And the one, though, has 7 children, bio, and then he married a gal that has 2 children. So that's 10. And I have another grandchild from my other son, so I have a total of 10. But anyway, I have reached out, and my husband and I both would love nothing more. We're going into our retirement. We'd love nothing more than to have a relationship with our teenage and adult grandchildren, but it just seems like they just don't have time for us.
Mm.
And we're having a hard time dealing with this.
Do they live locally? Are they spread across the nation or what?
Oh, no. And that might be part of the problem. We're self-employed, and both of my sons work in the business. And we're only like 5 miles away each direction.
Hmm.
from all of your grandkids.
Yeah.
So this is an issue with the grandkids, not necessarily the parents, like your sons.
Right. They don't come over to visit. They don't call. They don't text. When it's birthdays, you know, they did come over. My husband's birthday was July 4th, and they did come over, but you could tell that some of them didn't really want to be there, so they kind of left earlier. But I don't know what, I don't, it's very hurtful. I have wept many tears over this.
I bet, Susan.
I don't know how to deal with it.
Susan, what's the age range of your grandkids?
The oldest is 28, and the youngest is 14.
Is what?
14?
14. Huh.
14. Okay. And then I have four great-grandchildren as well.
Okay, and when the kids were little, mm-hmm. did you have more relationship with them?
I did, because this son that had the seven children had went through a horrendous divorce with his wife because she was an alcoholic and stealing money and whatnot, and so they were divorced. I had to be the caretaker for the children then that were left in the home, and I feel like that's why I feel so bonded to them, but now they don't feel bonded to me. I don't know if it's their ages, you know, that I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Well, I do.
I have other friends that tell me, well, you need to be the one to reach out to them. You need to call them and, you know, I don't know.
I do think age does play a role. I mean, little kids are very loving with grandparents. And you can do no wrong. But you are also kind of thrown into the mom role. And now as they're getting older, they're focused on their lives and their friends and their activities. So one of the things is that I always say is that, like, we as moms, we make our kids feel young. And so when they're trying to feel big and grown up, they don't always want to feel young. Mm-hmm. So there's a natural pushing away and moving out into the world. And you have to be, I always warn people, you have to kind of grow with the kids. It's because we get so much affection from little kids, there's a tendency to want to hold on to that time period. Oh, remember when you were so cute and little and we did this and that. And they don't always like that. That's not where they're at now. I mean, once in a while. But so grandparents have to grow with the kids and you have to show interest in them. And it's not that... I mean, I don't know how your grandkids feel, and I don't know if there's anything that's happened that would cause them to push away from you. But kids, as they grow up, they internalize their parents and their grandparents. So they hold us on the inside, and they often forget to connect with us on the outside. And we still want ongoing relationship. So more of the burden is on you, Susan, because you care more in that way. The need is greater for you than it is for them, because maybe they've already gotten a lot of good from you. And so it's nice to see grandparents once in a while, but their life, their friends are important. And I don't know how your sons, what they do to encourage the contact or not. And also we have to remember that seven of these kids had an alcoholic mom, right? Mm. Is that what you're saying? So,
that's good insight.
Right? The alcoholic mom, when a mom is an alcoholic, it does a number on kids and can really cause them to be more detached and feel like, you know, home isn't necessarily a safe place.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
I think that's great insight when you talk about, you know, go ahead. No, you go ahead, Susan.
This son that has the seven children, he remarried a woman, and she's totally different than the first wife, and she kind of, I don't know, I guess I feel like I have to step back. When they first got married 5 years ago, I determined I was going to step back and let them have their own family. I wasn't going to be the mom figure, you know, and she has taken over, and, I guess there's still things that my grandchildren do. For an example, they went to the county fair and they posted pictures. And I swear to God, the way they were dressed, we are believing, a believing family. We raised our sons to, you know, they love the Lord. And when I saw those pictures, I just got sick to my stomach. But somebody said, well, that's not your role, though. You can't speak into their lives any longer because you're not their mother. You never were.
You're kind of the displaced mom, Susan.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a hard role. You were there when you were needed, and now, sorry, we don't need you anymore. And this new mom and these new ages, right? It's a whole different chapter of life, and it can really feel like you were discarded, and that feels very hurtful.
That is. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And it's really about them growing, embracing their new family, not discarding you, but they just don't need you in the same ways they once did. And that's something you're having to mourn and grieve.
Yeah. Right, right.
Susan, they still need you. They need you as grandma.
They do.
And grandmas come alongside and they cheer them on. And for the 14-year-old, I don't know if it's a boy or girl, but if they have an event, a dance recital, a game, you know, grandma can sit there and probably might not even have interest in whatever the sporting event was or whatever it was, but grandma cheers them on. So grandma cheers them on. Grandma slips them a $10 Starbucks card to the older ones. You know, play that role. Be what I call the party time grandma. And as much as it drives you nuts how they're dressing or whatever, you just let that go. And, you know, as much, and I understand you got to have conversations with your friends about that because it is, it's harmful what's going on there. But you may have to change your role, and you're now not the mom because you kind of were the mom. And when it hit me when Jill said kind of the discarded mom, because you played such a prevalent and important role. And so that they don't now know, they don't know you as grandma. They know you as, you know, the surrogate mom for a while. And so, you know, play the grandma role and, you know, pick at them one at a time, and don't expect a 14-year-old to a, you know, 20-something year old to probably spend a whole lot of time stopping by. I wish I would have done that with my grandmother, and I probably didn't. I love this lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was the party time grandma. So, but she came our way. And when she was there, I was glad to see her, but I didn't spend a lot of time. I was too busy with my friends and whatnot. But she played a significant role. As I look back, she was one of the most influential people in my life. But you can do that. But you've got to reinvent your relationship.
Yes, exactly. You have to change your expectations too, Susan. You will do way more of the giving, and you will receive a lot less for now. But they will get older.
Yeah.
Would Doing Life with Your Adult Children be a good book?
Yeah.
You could get that in the newlife.com store. Dr. Jim is also going to be hosting a webinar in a few months called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. So stay on the line, Susan. We'll send you a registration for that. Anyone else, you can sign up for it. Get all the details at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's break time. We'll be right back with more of your calls. April, Cindy, and many more coming up on New Life Live.
Here at New Life, we want you to have transformation. And so we have created the New Life courses, and you meet weekly on Zoom with a coach or counselor. You're going to have teaching as well as that group connection, because we know how powerful that is. We hear that all the time about our intensives, that they love the information, but the group process is so powerful. And many of you have been hesitant to participate because you're not sure, you know, the timing, the price. New Life courses are going to meet you right at that area of need. Every week, you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful, and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us.
Embark on your journey of personal growth and self-discovery in August with a New Life course. Lose It for Life, Take Your Life Back, or Healing is a Choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we always talk about the intensives that we have here, like Every Man's Battle, Intimacy in Marriage, and Restore. Well, maybe you wanted to attend one, but finances are an issue. We can help you with a financial scholarship. You can get all the details about that at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I should call it a need-based scholarship. But again, call in for all the details about that because we'd hate for finances to get in the way of you attending one of these intensives that we offer, Intimacy in Marriage, Every Man's Battle, and Restore. Back to the phones, 1-800-229-3000. This hour is almost over, but we're going to be here for another hour after this one. So keep calling in, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to April in Columbus, Ohio, who listens to us on newlife.com. Welcome, April, to New Life Live.
Hi.
Hello. How can we help you?
I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who thinks she is a Syrian, and then she likes girls.
Okay, what is a Syrian? Because I'm not always up on these things.
My understanding is that they think they're animals, the spirit of an animal or an animal. She's walked and crawled in odd behaviors on the ground.
Does she dress in costume, like a furry or something? I've heard of a furry. Is that the same thing?
Well, it's like, no. Is it the same? Yeah, they don't consider themselves furries.
Oh, okay.
But she will wear ears in her hair and has, what? And wears a tail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What grade is she in?
Fifth grade, 10 years old, thinks she's a Therian, and you said she says she likes girls.
And my response to her, I listened to the callers before, and I'm, you know, the last one I also identify with, but the whole concept of their sexuality. And I said to her, you know, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's all I know. And I know that these kids are being pushed into all kinds of weird stuff. I said, when I was a young girl, if I said I had a girlfriend, it meant I had a friend who was a girl. It didn't mean that I had a girlfriend, like a boyfriend. So I don't know if I'm talking in the right direction. She kind of opens up, and then I don't hear from her.
What's your main question for us today? How can we
help her? How do I help her?
Yeah.
She is not a believer. You talk about kids who come from a believing household. Well, what about the kids who don't?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a couple things you can do, and I love your heart for your granddaughter. And the fact is that what we do is we sometimes don't want to stay in the story, but stay in her story. She's 10. That means she's being influenced by a group of kids, or she's being influenced online. And boy, 10 is young to be influenced online, but she probably has access to online stuff.
Hey,
Yeah. So she's been influenced by a group that for some reason she identifies with. But if you think about it, like when I was 10, I listened to a certain style of music that I didn't listen to when I was 12 because my identity had changed. When I was 10, I wanted to be a professional athlete. And by the time I was 12, I wanted to be something else. So one of the things is she's searching, she has an identity, and the primary task of like say 10 to even up to 18-year-olds is to find their identity. And that's a big deal in writing when you write about adolescence. And 10, interesting enough, she's pre-adolescent, but she's really close. And so she has found an identity in something that we all would look at it and go, well, that's a little bizarre. But the truth of the matter is she's got people around her who's probably going, oh, how cool, you are identifying as, you know, this particular animal. And then she also has kids. I mean, she's 10. She doesn't even, she's not even in full puberty yet in terms of her relationship.
She's already has a cycle.
Say it again.
She's already has a menstrual cycle.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It, okay.
That is
yeah,
starting
right. And
younger.
That's happening younger. You're, mm-hmm. you're exactly right. But still, well, then she is in puberty. I mean, she's at least in the process of puberty, of course. And what that means is that she's just trying to figure out who she is. So sometimes grandma can do an even more effective job than mom and dad at just, you know, showing love and understanding, but also understand that she's probably not going to identify as an animal and where, you know, and there are people who do this, but very few, but who and where, you know, the ears and the tail when she's 14 or 15. And actually, she may meet a boy when she gets a little older, at even 13, 14, or 15, and she may go, you know what, I don't like girls anymore. I like girls the way you described liking girls. My girlfriend is my friend. So stay in the story. This is when we stay in the story, and, you know, don't just be that safe person. Don't be the person, as much as you want to just, you know, say, are you kidding me? You know, be that person who can kind of be that loving, you know, grandma who can help her through the process. So one day she looks back and go, wow, my grandmother really helped me because I was really goofy when I was 10. And now I'm doing better. You see what I'm saying?
How about parents who are like accepting or trying not to make it? They're trying not to make a big deal out of it. But the mom tends to be like, I said to her, what are you doing on the ground? And then the mom goes, oh, well, that's exercise. And that's before I knew the whole story.
Yeah.
And it helps with your abs. And I'm thinking to myself, no, it's hurting her wrists, if anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like mom's enabling this behavior a little bit.
Yeah.
That's always hard.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And then dad's like, okay, I'm going to accept this, but I'm not going to accept that. Trying not to push her away.
Right.
And so then everybody gets fearful. So it's either the over anxious trying to shut it down, or it's the fearful walking on eggshells. Right. And I think you have to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It used to be that kids could try on different personas and nobody had a fear that they would stay that way forever.
Right.
So with this kind of behavior, she's, again, the friend group, going fifth grade, friend group becomes very important. Girls mature at different rates. Okay, she's already had a menstrual cycle. This may or may not be sexual, depending on maybe some of the influences around her. I think that you can be curious about it. Well, tell me what it's like, and what do you guys play? And even say, you know, I know, like, for instance, when my daughter was this age, there were a group of girls that she called them the pony girls. And I go, what do you mean the pony girls? She goes, oh, Mom, they think they're ponies, and they act like ponies all the time, and they're really immature.
Right.
Okay, well, that was their form of play, and those girls to this day are not ponies.
Right.
And so it's where she's finding acceptance. So the more you can get her talking about it so she can hear herself, so that she can know what she thinks and believes, the better. And yet it's okay to kind of question, I'm trying to understand that. Like, be curious, not condemning. I'm trying to understand that. That doesn't completely make sense to me. Right. And then, you know, have a dialogue and have ongoing dialogue with her.
And it could be as she's answering these questions from Grandma that it makes her think.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Why do I think I'm...
But she has to first feel acceptance. You love her and accept her no matter what.
Right.
But you're curious about this new thing. We didn't have Therians when I was little. Tell me about them.
Yeah. All right, April, thanks for your phone call today. We're going to be in the studio for another hour. If you're on hold right now, stay on hold. We'll get to you in just a moment here at New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.